So thank you very much to the organizers for including me in the list of speakers. So that's the title of my talk. I'm going to look into associated cycles of Harishchandra modulus and make some summaries of techniques that we might want to use in order to compute some examples. And this is partially based on work with Roger Ciro. So I'm going to start giving a definition of the associated cycle. And at a certain moment, I will need to make a summary of theory related to the subject. And there are a lot of important contributions to different aspects of the theory. And to avoid any mistake of not naming some important contribution, I will take some type of cheap way out. And many times I will say this is well known. Okay? And after the talk, we can talk about the references. So what is the associated cycle? We start with a finally generated GK modulo. So we have a Cartan involution. And we'll write the Cartan decomposition as K plus P. So since it's a GK modulo, it's a modulo over the enveloping algebra. This is a graded algebra. The filtration is given by the spaces UN, the final dimensional span of at most n vectors. We form the group of U of G, and you get the symmetric algebra of G. That's a commutative algebra. So the type of game we play is that we start with a GK modulo, and we want to build a modulo over the commutative algebra S of G. And the idea is that we would like to use techniques from commutative algebra in order to associate invariants to our GK modulo. So one starts looking for a filtration of the GK modulo. Since it's finitely generated, we can get the first phase of the filtration to be the span of K invariant generating set. The n subspace, we can make un acting in x0. And then we can form the group. The filtration we built is compatible with both the action of K and the action of the enveloping algebra. So when we form the group, we get a modulo over group of U of G. So that means we do get a modulo over the symmetric algebra of G with a compatible action of K. By the way, the filtration was chosen. K, that was group K, stabilizes each of these subspaces in the filtration. So when we look at the action of the Lie algebra of K, it will kill a good group. So we end up with a modulo over the symmetric algebra of G mod K, that are the polynomial algebra and G mod K dual. And so what is particularly nice about the filtration is that we started with a finitely generated modulo. We end up with a finitely generated modulo over a commutative algebra. So then we can think of the group as a coherent sheaf with a K action over a ring space. So then, once you have the coherent sheaf, you can look at the support of that sheaf. And that is what we call the associated variety of the GK modulo, and it's independent of the filtration, it's an invariant for the representation. So the support is just the set of the annihilator of the group. Because in all our picture there is a K action, this associated variety is going to be a finite union of nilpotent K orbits. But somehow we want a refined version of the support. So what we're going to do next is also look at the rank of the sheaf. So if we look at the rank of the sheaf at the generic point of the irreducible components of the support, and we call MOI to the rank, then we can get the integer combination of these nilpotent orbits, and this is what we call the associated cycle of the GK module. Now we want to do a little bit more. So suppose that we start with an irreducible GK modulo with infinitesimal character rho, so we can place that GK modulo in a coherent family. So for every lambda in the lattice of weights of finite dimensional representation, we'll get a virtual modulo. But if lambda is regular, nominal, and integral, at lambda, we get an irreducible GK modulo, and then we might want to look at the associated cycle for x lambda. So then now our rank will depend on lambda. And the fact is that the assignment lambda to this rank extends to an harmonic polynomial on H star. This is what we call the multiplicity polynomial. And a long-term goal is to understand these polynomials, in particular, if possible, to compute them. As we'll see, this is kind of extraordinarily ambitious right now. And in order to understand the characteristic cycle, we need also to look at the localized picture. This category of finitely generated GK modulo with infinitesimal character rule is equivalent to a category of coherent DK modulos. Here, D is the sheaf of local differential operators over the flat manifold. This sheaf is defined by these global sections, the global defined differential operators. And it will be important to remember that enveloping algebra maps onto the global differential operators. So then we can form this tensor, makes sense. And the assignment that at each finally generated GK modulo associated this tensor, we obtain a coherent DK modulo, and that establishes the equivalence of categories. And the inverse is given just given the D modulo, take the global sections. Okay. So we had a grading in the enveloping algebra. That grading that we have in the enveloping algebra induces a grading in the global differential operators. And since the sheaf is defined by the global sections, inducing a grading on our sheaf of differential operators over the flag. But here the zero space is just the regular functions on the orbit. The second one will be the regular functions by the modulo over OB generated by the initial G in the global differential operators and so on. So we have a filtration of this sheaf and we can form the group. And it's very well known that the group of these differential operators is, if you think as the sum of the partial groups, these are sections of CMM of the cotangent bundle of B, so this consists all of regular functions on the cotangent bundle. Okay. So we have our D and group of the differential operators. On the other hand, in our previous slices, we have formed the group of UG, but we also form a group of K modulo. We are going to do the same thing with the D modulo. So if X tilde is the D modulo corresponds to X, our good filtration for X will induce a good filtration on the D modulo, and we form the group. Then we'll get a modulo over the ring of regular functions on the cotangent bundle. Once again, we get a coherent sheaf. Once again, we can look at the support. The support of this sheaf is what we call the characteristic variety. We still have everything with a K action. So the characteristic variety will have to reflect that K action. It's going to be a union of irreducibles. So this is going to be given by the conormal bundles to the k-orbits in the flag. Okay? So that is an analog of where we talk about the associative variety. And again, we might want a refined version of the characteristic variety by considering the rank of this sheaf. And what we obtain is a linear combination of conormal bundles to k-orbits. The integers are denoted by a and q, and this is the characteristic cycle of the GK modulo. So we observed before that if we started with a GK modulo with infinitesimal character rule and we move it to some lambda dominant, our associated cycle was moving, was changing with lambda. That is not the case in the characteristic cycle. If I have something with infinitesimal character rule and I translate it to lambda plus rho, the characteristic cycle doesn't change. So the question is, how these two things relate. And in order to relate them, so one needs to look at the moment map. So the moment map from the cotangent bundle to the nilpotent cone And since everything we are talking about GK modulo and there is a K action, we might want to restrict that movement map to the union of conormal bundles to K orbits in B. So the image will be in the nilpotent cone intersection P. So far we had the characteristic cycle was an integer combination of conormal bundles to K orbits. The associated cycle was a combination of nilpotent orbits. So the moment map will map conormal bundles irreducible to the conormal bundles to orbits. So, and the characteristic variety, remember, was the union of the conormal bundles. The associated variety was a union of nilpotent orbits. And what is the fact is that the moment maps move the characteristic variety to the associated variety. And in the complex case, this was done by Borg and Brillin. The relation between the characteristic cycle and the associated cycle is more subtle. One can try intuitively to start thinking, well, if we have the characteristic cycle, we can group together all those conormal bundles that are pushed to a given orbit under the moment map, and one could expect that the multiplicity polynomial will have to depend on these coefficients, and they do. But these multiplicity polynomials depend on lambda, so that means that we are missing some factor that capture the dependence on lambda. So the question is, what is that factor? Okay, so again, we'll look at the Hohmann map. So we have the Hohmann map, remember, that sends the union of the conormal bundles to the nilpotent cone. So suppose that we want to understand the multiplicity polynomial at a particular orbit, nilpotent orbit, that has a generic element F. And just choose a conormal bundle that is pushed under the moment map to that orbit. So we consider the Springer fiber intersecting to that conormal bundle. So this is going to be a closer variety of the cotangent bundle. But we want to push it down through the natural projection to the flat variety. So we can think of the Springer fiber as a closer variety of the full flat. Okay? Our parameter lambda defines a bundle over the full flat, and we can restrict it to this closed subvariety. Okay? So if we restrict that bundle to the fiber, we can form the Euler characteristic. That is polynomial in lambda. Take the leading term of that Euler characteristic, and that was the polynomial piece that we were missing. So to put things together, so the object we want to understand is this invariant for the GK modulo, which is the associated cycle. It's a combination of closure of nilpotent orbits. As we put the Harishchandra modulo in a coherent family, the coefficients are polynomial in lambda. We want to compute them. But they are complicated, as you can see. They're a union of some integers that appear in a characteristic cycle of a localization, and to multiply by these polynomials that are related to our computing an Euler characteristic over a Springer fiber. So if one wants to have any hope in trying to compute some examples, we might have to be a little less ambitious and look at particular nicer situations. And a particular nice situation would be, for example, if our characteristic cycle were irreducible, so we have only one conormal bundle. So let's consider those cases. Of course, one can ask, are there Harishchandra modulus with that property? And yes, there are. And so these series are supporting closed orbits. So their characteristic cycle will be reducible. And it's a fact that if we look at not just these series, but cohomologically induced modulus with lambda regular dominant, we have the property. Okay, so then we'll start looking at these series. So if we have a representation in the discrete series, this is attached to a closed orbit. So the associated cycle so far we know is the image of the moment map of the conormal bundle to a closed orbit. There is a polynomial coefficient. This was given like, take the leading term of an Euler characteristic. I am sure I can convince you that we can look first to lambda very large, so the higher degree cohomology vanishes, so you can only consider dimensional as 8 zeros. And actually, you can actually introduce a shift that vacates the group. This is a theorem of Chafee Chang, that in case of discrete series, this can be done. Okay. So, the closure for SUPQ, SOPQ, SP2, and R, when Q is a closed orbit, we study the image of the conormal bundle. So we have an ill-potent orbit. That would be in the associated variety of the discrete series. And we chose a particular generic element, and we were able to explicitly describe the Springer fiber. So the idea, remember, we want to complete this dimension. This is a polynomial in lambda. So our first approach would be, well, how much do you know about the Springer fiber? Do you know it well enough so that you can compute this? And this theorem says, yes, we can. And so the theorem gives an explicit algorithm that produces an explicit set of reductive groups. And it says that the fiber at F is an iterated action of this reductive group on a base point. So it's, there is, and these groups are explicitly described, and I listed here on the slide what is the shapes of the groups. Depending on the case, there is going to be, can be in the power, they can depend, there can be one or two or more of these subgroups. There is an algorithm that tells you how to get them. And then later, with showing work with the Graham and Siro, and then jointly with Graham and Siro, we showed that this description of the fiber really exhibits the fiber in these cases, and it's a nice iterated bundle where the fibers are generalized flat varieties. And in these examples, the description is effective. It really leads to an explicit algorithm to compute the multiplicities polynomials. So the next theorem is that in all these examples just listed, the computation of the multiplicity polynomial essentially reduces to compute the Borel-Belbo theorem and some classical branching rules. And the branching is from GLR to GLR minus 1, and in some cases to SOR to SOR minus 1. And I can give you roughly how that goes. So one needs to compute the dimension of some cohomology space. Okay? So if you write down explicitly the isomorphism that gives you the Borel-Belbo theorem, you can convince yourself that this is the dimension of the span of the action of elements k of this form acting in some highest weight vector. This is the highest weight vector of the minimal k type of the discrete series. So then, imagine that there were only one group here. So what you are doing then is computing Borel-Belbo theorem for a flat manifold for L, and then you would be done. If you have two L's, then you first consider the L action on that vector. That is an irreducible L modulo. You can, if you restrict it to the intersection, you'll get a sum of irreducible representations. Here is the branching needed. Because of the construction, these weights are dominant for all the positive roots in L. So if you make L1 act again, so you have the sum of irreducible L1 modulos, and that you can compute the dimension. If you have a third L2, you reproduce the previous step. So you need some branching from step to step. Okay, so in this example of discrete series, we succeeded to compute, or to at least give an algorithm for to compute these multiplicities. So the question is, so what can you do to go beyond discrete series representation? And it has been pointed out by the experts, in particular by Peter Trapper, that one should need to consider some very good properties of the characteristic cycle, in particular some equivariant properties of the characteristic cycle, in order to make progress in this direction. So the idea is that we can look at the category of finitely generated GK modulos with infinitesimal character rule and look at the Grothendieck group. And the characteristic cycle extends to a linear map from the Grothendieck group to the C-linear span of this conormal bundle. And both sides of this map admit a W action. On this side is the coherent continuation representation that is computable. Okay? And as is a theorem of Tanizaki, is that the characteristic cycle is a W equivariant map. And so one could expect that this W equivariant map will help us compute characteristic cycles of other representations. On the other hand, this Grothendieck group is very big. So we might want to look at it. So that concentrates in some smaller piece of the big, not all the CK modulus. And there are some equivalent classes within this Grothendieck group that are called self of Harishchandra modulus. And they admit they are stable under an action of W. This action is a subquotient of the coherent continuation action. And it's true that if I look at the C-span of the irreducible in that self, the characteristic cycle will restrict to a W equivariant map. So we'll start looking at self. And what is nice, particularly nice about this self, is that two modulus in that cell have the same associative variety. Remember that the associative variety was the union of nilpotent orbits. So we are going to be looking at some cells of a span of irreducibles with same associative variety. Okay, so if we are going to use this characteristic cycle map, it would be nice that to know something of what do we expect to get in the image. And so our image admits a filtration that is compatible. So this image admits a filtration that is compatible with the closure order relation of orbits, nilpotent orbits. Okay. So remember, the associative variety is a union of nilpotent orbits, and this space has a filtration that is compatible with the closure order relation. So here, the subspaces of the filtration is just look at the conormal bundles that the moment map pushes into the closure of that orbit. You can form the subquotient. This is a W modulo, and this modulo one can say more about them. They are related to the Springer representation. So this is in the complex case. This is work of Rossmann. Okay. So we are looking at the Springer representation is an action of the component group of the centralizer of F and the Weyl group. Since in this context, we are always looking at K action, so what is the fact is that these quotients, we have to take inside the Borel-Moore homology of the fiber, we need to take those components that are invariant at the component group of K. So put these things together, so we look at the cells, the characteristic cycle will push us to the Borel-Moore homology, look at the guru. The guru is the sum of these modulus with a W action, which are very closely related to the Springer representation. So, once again, if we are going to understand this map well enough to be able to compute something, we'll need to assume some restrictions. And so the restrictions, we can assume that the associative variety is irreducible, is the closure of one orbit. That will tell us that we are going to land in only one top Springer representation. We can also assume the cell is irreducible, so this map will be injective. And if we are lucky enough, the action of the component group of K and the action of component group of G agree, this might even be an isomorphism to the Springer representation. All these ideas, has been pointed out by Peter Trapa, and he used them to show that multiplicity polynomials for SUPQ representations with regular integral infinitesimal character in the blue counted trivial are computable modulo the Kazan-Lustig algorithm. And what is happening in SUPQ is that all the good things happen, all the cells are irreducible, the associated varieties are irreducible, The map from the cell is an isomorphism. The image is just a Springer representation for which it's fitting to the harmonic polynomial and has a well-known basis, the Goldie-Rank polynomial. The polynomials we want to compute are the multiplicity polynomials. They differ from the Goldie-Rank polynomials by a constant. The Goldie-Rank polynomials are in principle computable if you know how to compute Kastan-Lustig polynomials. So that means if you know one multiplicity polynomial, you need an extra constant that will be the same for all the representation in the cells because of irreducibility. So then he observes the only thing you need to do is to be able to compute the multiplicity polynomial for exactly one representation in the cell, and in type AN you can do that. So modulo the Kastan-Lustig polynomials, and you can compute multiplicity polynomials. Later, Matthew Hosley used this type of ideas to compute to find closed formulas for multiplicity polynomials for a certain class of irreducible representation of SUPQ with regular integral infinitesimal character, just assuming that the associated variety has a particular shape. In this case, they are parameterized by tableau, and in the case of hook type, he got formulas, and he might have gotten formulas in under other assumptions. Nishiyama, Ochai, and Taniguchi, in the case of Xi Classical, they were able to compute an associated cycle for unitarizable highest weight modulos. In particular, those that come as the theta lift of irreducible of a compact group. And the method they use is to compare the K-spectrum of the representation to the K-spectrum and the shrink of regular functions. So with Roger, so after getting the results of this series and looking at Peter's results, so we wanted to see how much we could understand beyond the examples known by combining these methods. So, and then the natural thing was to start nice and easy and to look at highest weight modulus for exceptional the algebras. So in that case, if we want highest weight modulus, we need a Shimov-K Hermitian. So that restricts our attention to two cases. So just to consider the real form of E7, where K is E6 plus R, or restrict your attention to E6, where K is D5 plus R. So in that case, of course, since the Hermitian symmetric P will decompose on P plus and P minus, each of them K is stable. And we'll look at GK, a highest weight modulus. So of course, the first example, since we want to go nice and easy, will be just look at discrete series, holomorphic discrete series. So we said quite a bit about discrete series so far. So we know they are supported in a closed orbit. We know that in that case, the characteristic cycle is usually useful. It's just the conormal bundle to that closed orbit. So we also know that if we want the associated variety, we have to push that conormal bundle by the moment map to the nilpotent cone. But this conormal bundle for the closed orbit is just a vector bundle. So the image is just P plus, which is a closure of one orbit. This is 27 dimensional, so we have then orbit. Then in order to compute the multiplicity polynomial, we need to understand the Springer fiber. For the Springer fiber, so we have this map, and the movement map just send the pair Kf to K acting in the vector z. So the fiber is the pair Kz such that Kz is sent to our base point. So this can be identified by the borels that are conjugate to the base point by elements K with a particular property that K inverse S plus send it to an element in P plus. P plus is irreducible. This is just K acting in B plus. The multiplicity polynomial is the dimension of this cohomology, just Borel Weil-Bohr theorem tells you that is the dimension of the minimal case type. And you are done. Another example. So So this is another example of a highest wedge modulo that is not in a discrete series, but is a cohomologically induced. So it's, we consider a fairly stable parabolic where the Levy part is spanned by this root. So we write the fairly stable as L plus U, and we look at the H lambda. So the K orbit through that Q is a, so we look at the analytic subgroup of Xi with this Lie algebra. This is a generalized flag. And there we have a K affine Q, a closed orbit, okay, associated to this GK modulo, and a projection from the flag to this generalized flag. The pre-image of the closed orbit contains an open, a dense orbit there, and that is the support of the H lambda. So the characteristic cycle of the H lambda is again one conormal bundle, so it has to be conormal to an orbit in the flag, and that is dense in the pullback of the closed orbit in the generalized flag. So just by tracking down the definition, it's easy to see that the image under the Moore map of this conormal bundle is the K saturation of U intersection P. And in this example, we are very lucky. U intersection P is pre-homogeneous for L intersection K. So we can get the base points. Here, these are two normalized root vectors. This notation means it's the root with coefficients in the simple roots 1, 1, 1, so alpha 1 plus alpha 3 plus alpha 2 plus alpha 3 plus 2 alpha 4, etc. So the associated variety is the closure of the K orbit through that base point. So this is a 26-dimensional orbit. So again, our strategy was, well, are we able to understand the Springer fiber well enough so we can compute this multiplicity polynomial? And in this case, yes, we can. And once again, in this example, the fiber is an iterated bundle with two iterations. And if we want to compute the multiplicity polynomial, once again, we just need to know how to use Borel-Belbo theorem and a branch in, we need to be able to implement a branching from V6 to V3. Okay, so these are just two examples. But this is a small lemma. So if we have a cell of Harishandra modulus that contains one highest weight modulo, then all the other irreducibles there are going to be the highest weight modulus. And this is a consequence of the definition of cell and properties category O. So then, we have two examples, holomorphic discrete series and the H lambda. They have different associative varieties, so they are in different cells. And the fact is that each of them fit into irreducible cells. So we can decide that this, we can decide that those cells are irreducible by a long argument, or at the moment, we can use the Atlas program and we conclude that they are irreducible. So Atlas tells us they are irreducible cells. And we know that representation, two representations in the same cells have the same associated variety. We already computed the associated varieties where one orbit. So these are two cells that has nice properties. They are irreducible and they have irreducible associated variety. So we are in the nice situation where the characteristic cycle sends our cells to one of the top Borel Moore homologies. And actually, this space is just the Springer representation, and we have an isomorphism. E7. Okay, so we are in the situation where we have a map from the cell to the harmonic polynomial that each irreducible sends to the multiplicity polynomial, and the map we know is the W equivariant. So the only thing we did is compute the multiplicity polynomial for one representation. This was the philosophy in Trapas approach. But then the Atlas program can do quite a few things for you. And one of them is that it can explicitly compute the coherent continuation action on the cell. So if you can compute the coherent continuation action on the cell, so then knowing and the cell is irreducible and all these nice things happen, so you can get the multiplicity polynomials for other representations in the cell. And then it more or less tells you how the story goes. So So suppose that we are in a particular cell that contains the holomorphic discrete series for which we computed the multiplicity polynomial. So coherent continuation tells you that if you reflect, for example, in this example, root alpha 7, the discrete series, you get discrete series plus one more GK modulo. Since this map is W equivariant, then we can relate the multiplicity polynomial to the representation X1 to the multiplicity polynomial for the discrete series. And the assignment here is to the GK modulo X1, the multiplicity polynomial is the polynomial on the discrete series evaluated at the reflection through alpha 7 lambda minus the multiplicity polynomial for discrete series. And you can continue so on. If you reflect now your x1 through alpha 6, you get discrete series plus x1 plus an extra x2. You want to compute the multiplicity for x2, and you do the same type of game recursively. Okay. So accounting argument shows, and this can be done in E6 also, but we're focusing in E7. So accounting argument shows that in E7, so we have 111 highest weight modulus. Okay. So we counted discrete series, holomorphic discrete series and a cell. One can argue that that cell has 21 representation, and if you don't want to argue, you can look it up in Atlas. Then we have another cell that contains an AQ lambda and the holomorphic and anti-holomorphic, so there are two of them. And again, one can argue or look it up in Atlas that each cell has 27 representations. So that means we accounted for 96 of the 111 representations. But we also have the trivial, so we accounted for 97 of the 111 representations. So we are missing 14. But we know that these things come in holomorphic and anti-holomorphic. So essentially, we are missing 7. So what we are missing here in the description is those high weight modulos that are attached to the minimal orbit. But the Stringer representation for the minimal orbit is 7-dimensional. That tells us that we're just missing an irreducible cell with two 7-dimensional cells, 7 representations on each of them. Okay. On the other hand, unitarizable highest, so if we want to understand unitarizable highest weight modulos, these should be AQ lambdas. And there should be AQ lambdas of very particular type, for which we know what the associated variety looks like. And none of those looks like the associated variety of an orbit inside the minimal orbit. So that means that the representations in those cells we are missing are not unitarizable. So as a consequence, so far, one can compute the multiplicity polynomial for all unitarizable highest weight modulus with regular integral infinitesimal character, and also for all those representations that occur in the corresponding cells. Okay, so I still have, I think, 5 minutes, I don't know. And one more slide. So when we went more and looking into Atlas, so you can tell from Atlas how many cells you have, 23, of which 18 has both as irreducible cells and irreducible associated varieties. In the 8 of these cells contains discrete series in which we can locate one particular nice discrete series for which the fiber is homogeneous, and for which the Borel-Waldau theory gives you the multiplicity polynomial. Then there are 7 cells that contain AQ lambdas, 3 of which we can choose an AQ lambda for which the fiber is homogeneous, and there are 4 of them for which the fibers are iterated bundles, and a branching rule will give us the multiplicity polynomial. And then we have the cell that contains the trivial, and the 2 cells that contain the non-utilizable highest weight modulus. This has, the representation has irreducible characteristic cycle, and the fibers are essentially Schubert varieties. Okay, thank you very much.